as the Lord might be pleased to help me. You will find the words I read before you in the 147th Psalm, verses 2 and 3 and 4. 2, 3 and 4. 147th Psalm, verses 2, 3 and 4. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their name. There's a living God, my friend. And he has a living people. And my friends, he lives forever. And it'll be a solemn time when earth forever and the heavens pass away. And still is the living God. In the person and love of his dear Son, who stood in the room and place of every convincing her, you say you might feel there's no hope for you or have felt it. It is a great mercy when that day of division comes forever to be on the right hand and to join in the everlasting song and to crown him O Lord of all. It's a song that cannot be taught here. And yet every note is taught to every ransomed soul that reaches heaven by the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit moves upon the face of the waters. Now in that chapter that I read to you, that a prophet and man of God was in trouble when he heard that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. There was the temple. There the Lord Jesus wrote his name. There was the mercy seat. And there was the ark. And being upon this earth, subject to many changes, there were times of prosperity, and then there came times of adversity, when the enemies to God and to Jesus Christ cast down the walls. The world cannot love good till God has placed his love in their heart. And what a mercy. He has, by his matchless grace, called them with an effectual calling. As the shepherd, he goes forth to find his sheep. And he found Jacob in a waste howling wilderness, but he never left him there. He led him about. He instructed him. He lifted him up on the wings of a precious faith given by the author, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy to have Nehemiah's God in time of distress. You see, they were driven away by their own sins. They could not blame anybody, no. And he visited them for their sin. But wherever they were, the Jews of old, wherever they were cast by God, they had a God to go to. It's like many in this day that have the fear of God in their home. They are often cast where they seem alone in the wilderness. And many of God's children are often cast in the exercise of faith quite alone. And if God never came to them ever, they feel they should sing. They never will. But where's the salvation and the evidence and proof that Nehemiah and his God were one? First he bore the trial, called him to weep. It's a great thing when we weep after God, my friends. When we want the God of heaven to help us. And then he prayed. What a prayer. Did you read it? Did it read you? Did you not see in that prayer that there was a confidence given by the Lord himself? How he cast himself into the hands of God, and that's how you worship him. That's how you worship him. We are to praise the Lord, it says in this psalm, and oh my soul, well it's the soul that praises him, the quickened soul. Now for a moment, before that power has been given and bestowed to Nehemiah or all who are brought to fear his name, there was Jesus. Truly, it was a time of the law, and the law had no mercy, no more than it does today in their own land, when it is given and then fulfilled. But this law, I want to just speak of that day when Christ was suffered and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. All ceremonies dropped them. He had fulfilled that law. And greater than that, my friend, he could take a vile sinner into his power and under his grace and say they're forgiven. He's a living God. And he lives in his mercy and grace. Sweet child of God here, touched by the matchless grace of God, when he gives you a sight of himself, as having stood in your room, place, and state, and now gone to prepare a place for you, and he's got to prepare you for that place. He's got to prepare you for that place. And you see, that is the foundation of our belief, that he must do it all. Now he's pleased to use instruments. He has his servant. When up and now, my friends, who his instrument shall be? Here now, is one called, and yet not two called alike. And where does it bring him? Well, it was in the sorrow of his heart that he prayed earnestly to his God. And he was in the palace of the king and queen, and in a foreign land, don't matter. My friends, the palace, wherever it is, can be used by God to answer the prayer of a child inside it. Your home, wherever it is, if he's brought you into some particular distress of soul or circumstance, he can come there and will visit there. Oh, my friends, there's not a place wherever he has quickened a soul but what he can come where they are. And very often he comes in his love and in his mercy, in his tenderness of compassion, and I know him. I do not speak to you this morning of a God I don't know anything about. You say you have to taste. You want food from him. You want a stronger hand to lead you than any on earth. And blessings rest on his holy name. He says, I'll lead them in paths they've not known, to make those crooked things straight and the rough places plain. King is moved. What has moved the king and the queen? The prayer. That prayer moved it. Have you ever had a prayer move? Give you the guidance and blessing and remove for a while your perplexities, and caused you to rest in hope of the glory of God? I said it was that prayer. Is it a special prayer then? Yes, a very special one. And some of you before me have had very special prayers because you have had special needs. Oh, you see the Queen speak. I love to speak of the powerful hand of God supplying our needs. Everything, even with his will of that earthly monarch, he gave to Nehemiah. The earth is his, and the fullness thereof. The gold and the silver are his, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills are his also. Do you believe it? There's times when we have to fear, and often weep because we cannot believe it. But let him come. Let him be your all. Let him be the name in which you will approach him. Thou, my friends, he builded it up. Didn't matter about those three enemies. They had no secret in the matter at all. Oh, their heart wondered what the king would say. They were after the secret, you know. They were after the secret. That prayer God raises from your heart is real. And more than that, it enters up into heaven, into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. Sometimes we pray and cannot look and see that we have one as your mediator, your Jesus and your all, who's undertaken for all that you have to pass through, because it is all ordained by him. Don't think your times are in your hand, it's in God's. Well, everything was prepared, wasn't it? That temple was built in troublous time. They had a sword in one hand. They waited upon their God. That was the secret. And my friends, could you have entered into that their hearts that were truly waiting on God, they had a sword there that was sharp, and that was the sword of the Spirit. Then what a pavior if you have a hope in his mercy. That is, he's formed himself in your heart as your God, your refuge, your Savior in time of trouble. You see, that's the beauty, and that is the is what God means shall be to through Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. Very sacred. He atoned your soul. He knoweth every burden that he gives to his children. And he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He separates them by his lap. Why? You cannot go fully into the world. If you're one of these, you can. Now, my friends, let us come higher. Let us come higher. The Jerusalem above. Very sacred. May it be his sovereign will that you could sing from your heart, Jerusalem, my happy home. There's no sorrows there. There's no conflicts there. There's no perplexities there, my friend. But there is something accomplished by Jesus for his dear people. And he builds up that Jerusalem above. He does, my friend, and he gathers together every stone, spiritually considering. And every stone He takes out of the quarry of nature under the pool and elsewhere to find them. He never leaves one out. The vilest sinner out of hell, listen, that left to fill their need is welcome. Could you have a better gospel? Could you receive a better Savior? Could you desire a better heaven than to be with him who has done so much for you, child of God? Well then, how does he do it? He comes to where you are, and he takes that stone out of the quarry. And that work is going on. Sometimes he makes manifest many. Another time it's in but few. But when they're all gathered together, there will be more than any man could ever number. He gathers them. I will find them, he knows. Now I'm going to teach something you might not all understand. Every stone, every soul that will be saved and shall be saved has all been appointed by God in heaven, God the Father and God the Son. There will not be one stone missing, and there will never be a stone that can say they're better than the one next to them. By grace he is saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what are thy good outcomes? And they belong to God. Some cannot understand when as one called by grace and have to leave the hateful ways of sin and turn to the fold and enter in. And neither can that one who is compelled to come out from the edgeways and edges compel them, he says. Those that made excuse was now rule, compel them to come in. And blessed is that compelling power, the power of Christ, that saves to the very uttermost, and I feel outside. They have wounds. They have wounds. They never knew there were such sinners. God knew how deep their sin, more than you do. As I said yesterday, we're a vow. They never having stood in your own place, having shed his precious blood, having prevailed against sin and Satan, having fulfilled his Father's law, he's entered into glory as your own. And such is the love. We often speak of the love of God. Would have you had a sip? You want another, my friends? He never you read it, and we have to feel it in his precious word of truth. When he forgives sins with those that he met, he never mentioned their sins. That's mercy, friend. That's love. That's atoning blood. Never mention their guilt. Why? Because it lay underneath that flood of his own blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain, lose them all. And you say you sin still, don't you? Flesh will never be any better, but it'll show a child of God depths that are laid there in the flesh that has can and has been wiped away. But you want him to speak to you. Well, he can heal you, blessing the rest of his name. When the children of Israel, with all the Lord's goodness in bringing them out of Egypt, you know, and then when the waters were bitter, they began to murmur, you know. They like it today. They cast a tree in. Moses had his command from God. Now God speaks to his people. You might not have by the Holy Ghost. When and before we ventured on what has now been completed, there were three concerned in that matter. Neither one or the other knew that the voice had been given. And while passing down at my own the garden, feeling what a weight lay before us, and flesh said impossible, Satan come in like the Ammonites did. He gave me this word. Let us arise and build. He gave another hold in position here. Unknown to me, that same word. And he confirmed that word to 140 miles away. When we met together to consult, we had each had that word, a threefold cord from God. He's a wonderful God. My sheep hear my voice, he said. It is a voice. He takes the holy word of truth. He clothes it with his sacred power. Then he gives you a promise. He gives you that to go forward with. And what do you go forward with in Christ? Your eyes are up to the hills from whence cometh your help. And then he leads you on. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And he shall preserve thee in thy going out and coming in, and he closeth with himself. Oh, yes, I remember just a moment departing, when they were sending men from the large office where I was. Every week the Lord said to me, I will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And if he gives you something, you rest on it. You pray about it. You are tried, you are troubled about it. And you look for its fulfillment. He's a living God, a living Savior. And my friends, I can look back over more over 70 years, or a little under, and say he fulfilled that word. He never suffered my foot to be moved, providentially. And if your feet stand on that rock, they'll never be moved, my friend. Now he'll heal the broken in heart. To that man will I look, and with him will I dwell. That is poor, than of a contrite heart, and that trembleth at my word. Master, make us tremble today when we look around the world. It's not very sad, you know. Oh, how the power of Satan appears in every country, and perplexity and fear fails the hearts of men. Who is above it all, the Lord? What an infinite mercy if he brings some out and calls them earnestly to seek God in these trying times. Now every stone he touches with his sacred hand, and he polishes them. You see, they are to be formed in his own image. And you'd say, what is that image then that we're to be formed in? Thy will. Thy will. Not mine be done. He's forming you. He's bringing you through the furnace. That's to purify. He's bringing you through the waters. That's to cleanse you. But what does the gospel of his grace say? I am with thee. The child of God could never do without Jesus. I'm with thee. When thou passest through the river, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, a flame shall not kindle upon thee. And why? Because thou art mine. Thou art mine. The Medes and Persians' law was to shut up one of God's dear servants, you know, down in the lion's den. And no doubt those wicked men thought that was all they're going to see of Daniel. You can't shut up a child if it's in a lion's den. And all the Lord, the Medes and Persians won't help them. Poor king don't get any rest all night. There's something very beautiful in the leadings of God. And then he goes to the den and he calls. He got his raised to call. And what did he say? Is thy God able to deliver thee? Listen. Out of the very den of lions, my God hath shut the lion's mouth. That's my God, Hail. It's my God. Thou that were cast in, they never reached the bottom of the den. He could sit and see every portion of destruction before him, and yet their mouths were closed. I said, time is good. He healeth the broken in heart, and he bindeth up their wounds. He can give you a word of grace just suits your case. The enemy may come in like a flood. Your poor mind might be all perplexity, and he gives you the word of his grace, and it binds up your wounds. Yes, he's the same God that healed when he was upon earth. Oh, yes. And then let us listen. For I sit down, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names, and you'll never be able to number the stars, and you'll never be able to number his people, and you'll never be able to number all that you'll get to him. But the great question is, has he numbered you? Do you go out with prayer and supplication? Show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy precious love. Tell me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. And where does he lay that same treasure? In earthen vessels, your vessel and mine, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. Oh, my friend, great is our Lord, and of great power, and his understanding is infinite. I haven't prepared a sermon to come to you this morning. I asked the Lord to prepare my poor mind. I wanted help as much as any here. And I did pray today he might come and give a word to some and separate for himself so that they not only have grace here but glory hereafter, and that he'd bless the labors of all who labor in his name. Mercy to be right at last. Well, we have chosen today in a big collection as far as the Lord enables you to give. You can never make God a debtor. We are debtors to him of all he does for us. And he can reward you. He can bless you. And when we go forth in faith, you know, and he tries it, till you cast yourself on him as many little pebbles that we love. Some of not very big congregations. That doesn't matter. If you might have four or six in some, and all for the open mercy, Lord will visit them, and he can visit you alone. So I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified in him.